This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk to him, shall we? Let's call Paul.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by the Wisconsin Brewers Guild Pints for Prostates. Want a chance to meet Green Bay legend John Kuhn and support prostate cancer research? Just download the Wisconsin Tap Chaser app for details. And by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. Go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, ugly, I guess. Not a terrific performance. A lot of mistakes. Do you just chalk this up as just a bad game back to the drawing board, or did it raise some legitimate concerns for you?
Mixture of both, Bill. I mean, losses are going to happen throughout a season. Ugly losses are going to happen. Not a lot of them. You don't have room for this to happen frequently. So I think it's more about like the finer points of it. Do we really think Randall Cobb is going to have another game that bad again? I don't, personally. You know, that was, in his career, that was the outlier of being a really, really bad performance. And he acknowledged it after the game. And I don't think this is like the start of a drastic fall off a cliff for him, personally. So I think if Randall Cobb, the normal Randall Cobb shows up yesterday, that game could look different. That, you know, that's a game-changing type performance. The Packers defense in the first half, super concerning, needless to say, super concerning. And they kind of bounce back in the second half, which makes you say, yeah, it wasn't enough. But at the same time, it maybe gives you some optimism if you're a Packers fan to say, okay, see, they were able to fix things in the second half. So it was like, you know, is this team right now, Bill? I mean, does this have the makings of a team that's only going to lose four games all year and have a, I would say a 12-4 year, but an 11-4-1 year? Probably not. You know, this team has a lot of things that I think it needs to fix. And I think it's concerning that you've seen two of the three games so far, the Packers have gotten off to really, really slow starts. I mean, they're trailing Chicago by, you know, that wasn't just because of the Aaron Rodgers injury. There was a lot of other things going wrong for the Packers to be trailing and getting booed off the field in week one, you know, against the Bears. And yesterday certainly got off to a really slow start. And when you get to slow starts like that, Bill, it's one thing to say, yeah, the second half was a mostly improved performance, but at the same time, you'd say, well, why is the slow start happening? And I think they have a lot of individual personnel things to fix. The Kentrell Bryce situation right now is fascinating, and you know, Muhammad Wilkerson now being presumably out. I mean, he's not even back in Green Bay, and obviously they mentioned that he was rushed to an emergency room yesterday because of the ankle. So, I mean, you don't think that's going to end well for him. So, all in all, I mean, a concerning day at the office. But then again, I don't think Minnesota's a bad team, and they got destroyed by what I thought was the worst team in the league in Buffalo. You know, so the NFL, especially this early in the season, is weird. So I think you have to say overall it's not like a huge deal. But if you start looking at the finer points, there's a lot of things offensively and defensively and special teams because of the snapping situation that I think they need to look at really closely if they're going to get better.
I look at this thing, I start with defense, and I'm finding it hard to believe that it's going to get dramatically better. I can see it getting better, but dramatically better to be, say, a top 15 defense? Man, we were kind of hoping for that. I don't see it, man. Too many guys that just whiff on fundamentals. It's one thing if guys were in the right place, right time, and they're you know, hitting guys and everything, and you can just see that maybe they just don't have enough speed and enough talent. But when guys are whiffing on the fundamentals, man, that really starts to become disconcerting.
Yeah, there's some hard to watch tackling attempts happening for sure, and I think you can go to a lot of different places with that. But I would say in terms of getting better or not getting better in terms of as you see the season playing out. Go look at the snap counts, Bill. I can give you what I remember from the top of my head. Clay Matthews and Nick Perry played, I'm going to ballpark it for you because I don't have it in front of me. I think it was 62% of the snaps for Matthews and for Perry. Meanwhile, that means there was 38% of the snaps at outside linebacker played by Reggie Gilbert and, yes, Tyler Fackrell. So Matthews and Perry are getting the majority of those snaps, but you're seeing more and more of Reggie Gilbert and, for some reason, more and more of Tyler Fackrell. So I don't know if this is just like, you know, desperation and desperate times call for desperate measures, because I think Nick Perry should be pretty thankful that Clay Matthews is having such an interesting season, because Nick Perry is kind of being overlooked right now, despite not playing very well. And it's because Clay Matthews is such a focal point of discussion, kind of getting lost in it, is that Nick Perry is being paid $12.5 million this year to be invisible 95% of the time. And, you know, you're not going to have a QB hit or a QB hurry on every single pass rush, but you've got to be showing up more than you are. So, you know, Kevin King was out yesterday. That shouldn't be understated. Oren Burks only played 8 snaps, and even in those 8 snaps, he looked good. You know, like, as Oren Burks gets more work through the action, I think this Packers defense is going to get better just from his presence alone. As Josh Jones comes back on the field, as he takes some snaps from Kentrell Bryce, Bryce had a pretty good game in week one, but week two and three, he was really
bad.
You know?
Yeah, he's been bad.
He's been bad weeks two and three. So, you know, so let's just say over the course of the next month, Josh Jones takes those Bryce snaps, Oren Burks takes some snaps away from Antonio Morrison, and, you know, Kevin King comes back and takes away all the snaps from Devon House. You know, yes, those are all young players we're talking about, but it's like you get better really fast if you start taking some of your worst players off the field. I think the only problem is you can't do that outside linebacker because there's not that quality depth, you know, and I think that's what could really bite this team in the short term and the long term.
So I look at this team and say, okay, they don't have much of a pass rush. Let me ask you this. If Clay Matthews the last 2 weeks had these big sacks and they counted, would we be saying Clay, just the opposite of Clay Matthews is having a hell of a year?
He was not just because of the penalty in week one, but all considered, he had a really bad, maybe worst all-time Clay Matthews performance in week one. If those two plays the past 2 weeks, though, Bill, are counted as sacks and not 15-yard penalties, I mean, I'm not saying he's been relevant and around the ball enough, and I think he's had some moments that have made you say, like, okay, he's clearly lost a step. But I don't even think, you know, Clay Matthews would argue that he's not the athlete in 2018 that he was 4, 5, 6 years ago. I mean, it's just natural, especially at a position like that. But those are, you know, rather than having 2 sacks on his record book, rather than having his sack in week two would have been a game-winning sack. So I don't know if you want to, like, weigh those and count those more if you're a fan at home, but, like, that's, you know, and the sack yesterday on Alex Smith, I mean, that's a huge play. Do the Packers win if that doesn't get called? Probably not. Washington still punted the ball away that series after the drive got extended. But that's a really good question, Bill. It's like, are you willing to sacrifice maybe play-to-play consistency for the big home run play? And I think had those two Matthews plays been sacks and not penalties, yeah, I think you could argue he's splashing. He's not consistent. He's not bringing it on a play-to-play basis. But these would have been splash plays. One, a game-winning play. Another, a series-ending play yesterday. So, yeah, it's a good thought, Bill. And I just want to say, and I didn't get to hear much of your first hour of the show. But if I was you, I would have come into this, I think, just yelled into a microphone for the first hour, because you can call this like picking on Clay Matthews, and you can call whatever you want. And I saw some of your tweets yesterday, and it sounded like you and I were in lockstep. Bill, the NFL is going to hell in a hurry, because this stuff is terrible. It's absolutely pathetic. And I just don't know how they can correct it midseason like this, because the competition committee is destroying the NFL.
I would agree. I'm struggling with just being able to tackle and this whole thing about managing momentary weight on a quarterback. And
unbelievable.
You know, it just, they have over-legislated a tackle, and that's the shame of it.
Did you see the Dolphins player? What happened to him?
Yeah, he ended up busting an ankle up because of it.
No, he tore his ACL.
Yeah. Yep.
So he tried to not put all of his weight onto the quarterback while bringing the quarterback down. So he tried to, like, lean in an awkward, unathletic manner to avoid that penalty.
Yeah, Joel Shad had a picture of it on Twitter, too. I was just looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, okay, you're Clay Matthews. You know, you're any defensive player in the league. And it's kind of like Joe Thomas, you know, the former Badger and you know, former Cleveland Brown, best one of maybe the best left tackle in league history, who's really, you know, great on Twitter. He's posting these public service announcements saying, you know, guys, like, what do you, you know, what is happening here? How do you expect someone to charge at someone from the front of the body and tackle that person without falling on that person with their body weight? You know what I mean? And I think what was really disconcerting, Bill, is that, you know, watching back on the TV broadcast yesterday, and Kevin Burkhardt and they're trying to explain, well, you know, Al Riveron just called us, you know, the head of the officiating committee, and he said, well, that's not a new play, that's not a new penalty, that's the old age, penalty if you put all or most of your weight onto the quarterback. I don't get it, you know, and I think, I don't know what you've gotten on Twitter or what you've gotten in terms of, like, other correspondence. I had tons of people message me on Twitter yesterday saying, you know what, I'm going to find something else to do on Sundays. I'm sick of this over-legislation of tackling, and I just don't know how to fix it now. Then when you're going into week four, you know, Clay Matthews has become the poster boy for this, and there's just a big problem on their hands that I'm glad I don't have to be the one to solve it, because they are, you know, it's week by week that you're seeing something else that just kind of makes you scratch your head. People are losing interest. People are losing interest, and that's not good.
Paul, good stuff as always. We will chat again soon, okay?
All right,
pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 800-444-44 prior to go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.